processes.
That's right.
Something has a feel, I'm sure.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the House Committee on Transportation and Economic Development. It's April 17th, and we start on our long list so far of Senate bills.
It's the 22nd.
Representative Cannon is excused today, April 22nd. Thank you. I was looking at the wrong spot on the agenda. We're going to start with the public hearing on Senate Bill 276. Mr. Campbell? Troy, you want to give us a summary, please?
Sure. Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. Senate Bill 276 directs Secretary of State to conduct annual financial review of monies collected, borrowed, received, and expended by Travel Information Council. Provides that Secretary of State may contract with an independent certified public accountant to conduct the review or accept a financial review conducted by an independent certified public accountant.
So, Mr. Campbell, you're the only person who has signed up to testify. There are five people behind you. The question is whether how many French words you're going to use and how you can get anyone else to testify on this bill.
Go. Bonjour, madame et monsieur.
Very nice.
Nicely done. Well done, sir. Well played.
Well done.
Well played.
For the record, my name is Craig Campbell. I'm here on behalf of the Oregon Travel Experience of the bill. This bill was actually requested by the Oregon Travel Experience. During the last legislative session in February, the legislature saw fit to give additional responsibility and funds out of the highway fund to manage rest areas in the state of Oregon. As a result of that increase in funds, the Oregon Travel Experience has taken significant steps to make sure that we are making good managerial decisions, not only in how we're managing the rest areas, but in our financial picture as well, putting in protocols to make sure that our numbers are double-checked. And part of that is to make sure that we have external eyes on our books to make sure that when we come before you, we can, with a straight face, say that we are managing our money well. And this bill is in keeping with that. So we have asked the Secretary of State to either perform or contract to have performed a financial assessment of our books every year. And that there's not much more to say about this bill. It's a pretty simple, straightforward bill. Came out of the Senate committee unanimously and passed the floor of the Senate unanimously after some altercation about a raccoon feeding bill, after which the no vote was changed to aye, and we proceeded accordingly. So with that, I'm certainly capable of answering any questions in French, English, Swedish, German, any language you prefer.
Any questions, Mr. Campbell? You're capable of answering any questions?
Any questions. The answers may not be accurate. Okay. However, I will provide an answer.
Prepared to provide them.
Very good. Are there questions for Mr. Campbell?
Well, I have one about the raccoons. I assume we don't want to feed the raccoons.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, as I have no client on that bill, and as it might upset certain people who decided to vote for the bill after all, I'm not going to make any comment about whether one should... feed raccoons in one's backyard.
Does that count as an answer, do you think?
I thought it was a very good answer.
Oh, it was very diplomatic.
It was très bien.
Nicely done.
Mr. Chair, Representative,
I think it lost control by just talking. could you give us a little refresher, at least me, on the management of those rest areas? What's happened since we last were together talking about it? What has the travel experience, I always have to be careful to say that correctly, has been doing progress on the various rest areas?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, when the bill was passed back in February, it had slotted two transitional periods for taking on additional responsibility. The first was January 1st of 2013. Some of you may know we had a series of rest areas that were granted to the Oregon Travel Experience as a result of the Jobs and Transportation Act in 2009. In addition, we added a series of rest areas that were along I-84. Those were transferred over to the Oregon Travel Experience on January 1st of 2013. And as a result, our model is different from what the ODOT model was in that we have on-site staff. Our goal is initially to improve the cleanliness, safety, and welcoming nature of the rest areas along that route. In addition to that, we will be working with local communities and trying to identify ways that we can use those rest areas for economic development for local communities around those rest areas. In addition, we plan on, there's a statutory transfer of the I-5 rest areas as well as of January 1st, 2014. When all is said and done, I believe we have, I want to say 18 rest areas that we're taking on, and I'll look over my shoulder to make sure 18. I am absolutely certain we have 18 rest areas coming on board when all is said and done with an increased highway fund amount of $6.5 million per annum to take care of those rest areas. So when all is said and done, we will have all of I-84 and all of I-5, plus we also took on the Tillamook rest area and the government camp rest area. As you know, both of those were slated for closing, and as a result of work with ODOT, we have kept those open, and they are functioning properly. So hopefully when you're traveling through the state of Oregon up the I-5 and I-84 corridor, check in and see how we're doing. We had the Sandingham rest area, the Baldock rest area on I-5 that we had taken over previous to the bill. That was part of House Bill 2009, and the Ontario rest area. And I'm trying to think of what the other rest areas were we had, but they're escaping me at the moment. But I can certainly get that list for you if you would like.
I mentioned one of the transitional periods starts in January 13, so we're a few months in. What's happened since then?
We've hired staff. We've started to do the upgrading of the physical plant of those rest areas, taking care of any deferred maintenance that have been set aside for those areas, doing a lot of cleaning up. We've replaced garbage cans, trying to make them ADA compliant, even though we're not required to, because we're not doing upgrades for those rest areas in the sense that brings the ADA in line. We're trying to make sure all of our rest areas are compliant with ADA. We had a group of stakeholders who included travel bus groups, school districts, ADA representatives to go through those rest areas and find out what is working, what is not working, and we have plans for each of those rest areas to bring them up to the requirements that are necessary to meet those particular folks' needs. So that's where we are at the moment.
And then as it relates to the need for audits more frequently, you mentioned some additional money. I remember, but for the benefit of the new members of the committee, so could you refresh us on where those additional dollars come from?
Mr. Chair, although it's not specifically cited in the bill that passed, it was House Bill 1591? I think that's correct. Anyway, that bill didn't specifically identify a set of funds that were coming from a convenience fee on driver's license records. However, there was a provision in the bill because the assumption that was where the revenues would come from that gave the Oregon Transportation Commission the ability to reduce funds that go to the OTE as a result of any decrease in revenue that come in as a result of reduced sales, etc. So that's where the funds are coming in from currently. Is that the question you had about the source?
Yeah, I think so. And any developments on that as far as implementing it? I think there was some uncertainty around its continuation and so on.
Mr. Chair, as you're aware, it is the subject of a lawsuit currently as to whether or not a certain portion of it, not the portion that's being used for the rest areas, but a certain portion that's being kept by the Department of Administrative Services for e-commerce or e-contact through state government, the e-portal, that portion of it, there's a lawsuit about whether or not that's a constitutional use of highway funds. In addition, the revenues have been reduced probably as a result of the economy, but we're looking into that. And we're in the process of going through the necessary negotiations and discussions with the Oregon Transportation Commission and ODOT and Oregon Travel Experience and the Oregon Travel Information Council to make sure we're managing through that well. So at this point in time, we've got a good, robust discussion going between the entities to make sure that we're doing it correctly.
And where does the lawsuit stand?
Mr. Chair, the lawsuit is, it has yet to kind of flourish. We're still in the initial stages of the lawsuit. I can't really give you many particulars because I'm not too much involved in that process, but my sense is it's going to be going for quite a while.
Got it. Thank you. Representative Davis.
Thanks, Chair. Looking at the bill itself, I see that current statute says that the Secretary of State shall enter into agreements with the Council to set an appropriate financial review schedule. What's the current schedule? And it sounds like the Secretary does those audits in, herself, her office.
Mr. Chair, Representative Davis, the Secretary of State initially did a full-blown audit last year, mm-hmm. with the anticipation that we would be doing it every 2 years. Mm-hmm. And the Oregon Travel Experience was, I believe, planning on doing their own evaluation in the off-numbered years between those two. Mm-hmm. So this makes it more formal, and it's probably not too terribly much outside of the scope of what we were hoping to have happen anyway, but we just mm-hmm. wanted to make sure that it was required in statute.
Please.
There's no external force or compliance issue with the feds or any other piece requiring more of a robust and independent schedule? This is just an ask?
Mr. Chair, Representative Davis, no, there isn't. Although the things become more complicated when you deal with transportation funds, and so that's one of the reasons we wanted to make sure that we are very methodical about how we do this, because we want to make sure that we are using those funds properly so that we don't inadvertently cause the Department of Transportation to come at risk from their federal funds that they're getting, because they're very concerned about that. So to the extent that there's any external concern, ODOT just wants to make sure we're using those funds well. They didn't request the bill, however. It's mostly us. Well, it's entirely us, actually.
Follow-up.
Go ahead.
And then on page one of the bill, there's some language deleted and added unrelated to the audit schedule about deleting chairperson in three places and replacing that with Travel Information Council. What's that about?
Mr. Chair, Representative Davis, that was mostly because they were uncomfortable just having the authority of the chair doing that, and they wanted to make sure the council was acting as a council.
Okay, thank you.
Questions? I think that's it. Thank you very much.
Thank
Merci.
You.
No one else want to testify on Senate Bill 276? No? Close the public hearing on Senate Bill 276 and open public hearing on Senate Bill 288.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. Senate Bill 288 eliminates requirement that person with limited vision condition take driver tests every 2 years.
No one here to testify on it, huh?
I could get up and just read the bill.
Well, thank you for offering.
The good news.
Maybe Mr. Campbell could do it in French.
Yeah, maybe so. The good news, committee, is we have plenty of time. Ms. Joyce, do you want to give us some background on it? We can get something out of the public hearing today.
Thank you.
Chair Reed, members of the committee, Amy Joyce from the Department of Transportation. I had not planned on testifying today. It's not the department's bill, but I can give you some background and the department's perspective on the bill if you'd like. Basically, there is a program that was begun in 2003 that allows, with significant restriction, people who have specific kinds of vision disorders that can be largely corrected with a particular kind of lens to obtain limited driving privileges. The 2003 bill was a pilot. There were all kinds of restrictions on it, testing, doctor's notes, where you could drive, when you could drive, that sort of thing. And over time, the pilot nature of that has been lifted. Some of the restrictions on that have been lifted, bringing us to the point of Senate Bill 288, which would delete the current requirement about taking driving tests more frequently than others would need to. I can tell you that there are in the neighborhood of 30 or 35 people who currently have this driving privilege, and the analysis DMV has done indicates that the crash rate for that population is no different from the crash rate for the general population. So the department has no problem with this bill.
So the effect of the bill would be to put this population back to the same requirements as the population as a whole. There are still requirements for renewing licenses and all that sort of stuff. It's just that they would not be treated differently than the population at large. Have I got that right?
Chair Reed, in regards to taking a driver test, a behind-the-wheel test, I believe the current law is something like every 2 years. And, right. Of course, for the general population, you take your drive test perhaps when you're 16 or if you have some problem down the line. But otherwise, no one takes a driver test again. And so it would delete this requirement to continue retaking a behind-the-wheel test.
Okay. Questions?
But, again, this, at least according to this, what the vision specialist has to tell DMV, their vision is the same as it was 2 years ago. Is that one of the things that has to be provided?
Chair Reed and Representative Doherty, that's absolutely correct.
Questions? Thank you very much. Unless there's anyone who's come into the room since then, you changed your mind. Okay, so we'll close the public hearing on Senate Bill 288 and open the public hearing on Senate Bill 487.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Members of the committee, Senate Bill 487 expands offensive a violation of slow-moving vehicle emblem requirements to include display of slow-moving emblem on highway for purpose other than what is required under law.
Thank you for waiting, Mr. Tulsa.
Yeah, thank you. Good morning, Chair, members of the committee.
Good. We're not in morning anymore.
Did I say good morning?
You did.
Good afternoon.
Thank you.
Ian Tolson, Oregon Farm Bureau. We bring hopefully a simple bill to you guys that is an easy fix. The slow-moving vehicle emblem, you might have seen it, probably improperly used in our opinion. It is a triangle reflector, typically orange or red, that is meant for use on the back of tractors, farm equipment, ATVs. You can use them for golf carts. What we have seen is using that on stationary objects, a tree, a driveway marker, what have you. And we're concerned about this because of the safety implications it may cause. Especially at night, you're driving along, you're used to seeing this on the driveway or using for a tree, and you may think that you can, that there's nothing in the roadway. And this actually happened in Albany a few years back and has caused a death. So we want to prevent that use and just say if it's not being used for what it's explicitly listed in statute, then you're in violation of the law. Pretty simple, pretty easy bill. As Representative Doherty talked to me earlier today, she brought up a very good point. A lot of times these farmers are enclosed in a cab. It's loud. You can't really see. So this emblem being used and having that that known on the road that it is a slow-moving vehicle and give it the respect that it deserves, I think, will help keep our roads safer. And that's about it. Thank you.
Questions? Representative Davis.
Thanks. Could you state again, how did it lead to a death? I didn't catch that part.
Yeah, Chair Reed, Representative Davis, I'm not entirely sure. I think the story went, the driver was making a turn and didn't think that there was a tractor in front of them. And I think he got hit by either an obstruction or went off the road somehow. There was some mistake that happened with that instance. I don't know the particulars.
How is the emblem involved?
The emblem was being used as a driveway marker.
Marker. Yeah. Stationary.
It was stationary.
Okay.
I should probably know this, but looking at the bill, the offense is a Class C traffic violation. What are the penalties associated with it?
Chair Reed, it's funny. I was talking to someone about this earlier. I said, oh, it's a Class C violation. I did not look that up. Okay. I can get that to you
is
after
it,
the meeting. I'm sure it's the more on the lower level.
It's probably just a fine.
Yeah.
And so the bill doesn't change the penalty. It just includes a new activity in the definition of that offense. Is that right?
Correct.
Okay. Questions? Representative Doherty.
Well, and one thing just because I'm signed on to this bill, and I think part of it is that when that triangle is used for other purposes than the slow moving, people kind of take it for granted. Mm-hmm. And really, when you are in a tractor, whether it's in a cab or open, you can't hear what's going on. And if, especially with tractors, which are not, don't have side mirrors and this kind of thing, especially the smaller ones, you can't see. And so people just, I mean, my husband's, my father-in-law's a dairy farmer, and so when we were out working and that kind of thing, I mean, cars would just zip by us and in very tight situations and around curves and that kind of thing, and really not taking that for granted. But people do take that and put it, say, oh, yeah, just turn, left at the slow-moving vehicle sign. And so it really was taken out of context in what it is. But it's really is, a factor for a lot of farmers. So.
But those instructions sound like a recipe for disaster if it happens to be on a vehicle, for example.
Well, especially with me driving it. So
what, I don't have any trouble with the description of it. It does strike me that it's another example of changing something that some people may have erroneously begun to take for granted. What do you, as Farm Bureau, have plans for education effort? Do you do things to help people who are obviously have the opportunity to choose to correctly or incorrectly use them, but also
how people should interpret and react to the signs?
Sure, yeah. And Mr. Chair, thanks for the question. This was first done in New Jersey, and so there was a pretty big education and involvement by their Farm Bureau that I'm sure we will get into as well. But the law enforcement officials did a really good job of explaining to people. So there was a grace period, if you will, where they just said, hey, you know, just to let you know, this was a new change in law. You're not allowed to use this. And there are other ways to mark a driveway to not use this symbol. So we will be involved in that. And basing off prior ways that it's been done, the law enforcement officials do a pretty good job as well.
Okay. Thank you. Other questions? You didn't bring anybody to testify with you? There's no one else in the room.
Okay. No, it's just me. I'm sorry.
No, I'm just kidding. It's just such a change from where we were with House bills.
I know, right?
I did have a question.
Representative Betts.
Right. So, thank you, Mr. Chair. It says displays a slow-moving vehicle emblem on a highway. So this means you have to be on the highway, not alongside it. Was that the concept? Is this just for vehicles on the highway? It's not for someone who puts it alongside their driveway to keep people from driving off the culvert that gets you across the borrow pit and into the driveway?
Representative Vance, Chair Reed, thank you. The definition of highway in ORS 366.005 sub 6 says highway means every public way, road, street, thoroughfare, and place, including bridges, viaducts, and other structures within the boundaries of this state, open, used, or intended for use of the general public for vehicles or vehicular traffic as a matter of right. So there is some leeway off of the highway. And I don't know exactly how far that is. It's not right when the pavement ends, but there is some way that's defined. I think sight is also, I mean, that's what we're trying to get after here, is really more sight.
So we're going to have another hearing, so this may be, you may be taking these as cues for follow-up.
Right, just for purposes of making sure that the record reflects the fact that this isn't just for vehicles on the highway that shouldn't have the emblem, it's also for stationary purposes alongside the highway.
Correct.
The prohibition is for
Exactly. Yep. It extends to stationary use alongside the highway. How's that?
Yeah. So I think
in other words, don't do that either.
Right, exactly.
Don't do that.
That's what you're saying.
Correct. Right. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
Very good. I think that's it. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
We close the public hearing on Senate Bill 487, and we're done very early. But I want to make sure that the committee knows we are likely to get some more Senate bills, but even if our current, the ones in our current position double or triple, we have substantially fewer than we had House bills. So this is your invitation, your open invitation, and say it to our large audience as well. We have some capacity for informational hearings while we are all here doing our other jobs and other committees and on the floor and so on. So we sent out a little invitation for that. But here's a reminder. Please let us know if there are things that you'd like to explore in anticipation of our 2014 session, things we didn't get to, all that sort of stuff. We're here. We have the capacity to do that. So let us know when you have ideas for that. We'll try to accommodate that in our remaining meetings. Anything else for the committee today?
I'd like Representative Benz to do his video collage of beautiful roads in Eastern Oregon.
Take up about half of our remaining time.
And if we're not doing that in the committee, just walk by Representative Benz's office. He has a large television display of those images. Very good. We're adjourned. See you on Wednesday.